Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
All right, it's that time of the year, and I just, back in January, it was so great to see you, Joe. Joe Lenardi joins us. Joe, welcome back to the show, and let's get into your wheelhouse. Great to hear from you.
Steve, thank you. Without you and Dick, I think I'd still be wandering around University City and, you know, trying to find my way into the Palestra, which, you know, when I was an undergrad, we would just usually lift each other up and climb through a window.
Oh, see, that was always the running joke about Rec Hall. Nobody ever really knew what the attendance was because everybody knew doors they could get in. Not today.
And I can't confirm this, but I thought someone told me years ago when I was coming up there, the games at Rec Hall in your Atlantic 10 days, that it was the same architect as
the
Palestra.
It is. Exact same guy.
Because, I mean, it sure looks it.
Oh, it's one's blue, one's red. And it's really kind of cool it's like that, so.
How about that?
Two great buildings. Joe, I'm of the opinion, and you can tell me if I'm wrong about this, but that UConn, Houston, Purdue as ones, but there's a big distance as to who is the fourth number one seed. Am I on the right track?
Yes. I think those three have separated, and I could make legitimate, very winning-sounding arguments for all three of them as number one overall, and I suspect we'll waste a lot of hot air and digital memory over the next 3 weeks debating that, unless or until someone separates. But the reality and the practical application of it this year is we know where all those three teams are going, whatever their order is. So, moving on to the rest of your question, yes, there is a gap. Arizona in the fourth overall spot, which would be the last number one seed. Arizona is actually closer to the two teams right behind them, Carolina and Tennessee, than they are to the top three. Arizona plays tonight at Arizona State. Its last game there with them as Pac-12 members.
Yeah.
And, you know, they could lose. Tennessee could win big against Auburn tonight. And maybe tomorrow morning we'll wake up and we'll have a new number one seed. Yeah. But that's the scenario at this point at the top of the bracket.
That's why I look at the conference tournaments. And a conference tournament champion, if it happens to be in that grouping, might be the separator that does it. I mean, we'll see.
To the extent that, you know, this committee or any recent ones actually pay that much attention to conference tournaments, because, you know, there's a lot of anecdotal evidence to suggest, particularly, you know, in your league with that late Sunday game on Selection Day, that, you know, it's not always the most valuable chip to get when it comes to your eventual placement in the bracket.
Oh, no. When it comes to the Big Ten, no. Okay, the Big Ten. I mean, we've seen it over and over. Right. I mean, they've got it on in the background. That's about the extent of the importance of it to the committee. It's on TV.
And,
yeah, yeah.
You know,
is it over yet?
I'm not going to name names, but I know committee members in years past who've already been on a plane back to their campuses while the Big Ten championship game is underway and the selection show hasn't even come on yet. Right. And I'm not faulting them. They all have jobs,
right?
And important jobs. But you know, it does kind of make me wonder sometimes where those of us who do brackets, you know, we're sitting there grinding away with a pencil and an eraser at 5:25 on Selection Sunday night, when, you know, maybe we should be having a bourbon.
I like the latter suggestion, by the way. All right. So.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't know personally because, you know, I subscribe to the theory that, that too much of any brown liquor will stunt your growth. So I, you know, I would know nothing really at all about it.
Okay. That's an inside joke between the two of us.
Well,
because a lot of people don't see you. They see you on TV sitting, so that's why.
Well, how about we just leave it at this? I'm taller on TV because of the camera.
Oh, goodness. Okay, so we'll always ask about...
You could have had any guests today. You didn't have to get the silly one.
I got the one I have a lot of fun with. How about that?
There you go.
Okay, so always going to be asked about last four in, out. So at this hour, since nobody's playing at this hour, who's last
right.
four and who's first and who's first four begging to get in?
Yeah. At the moment, and we do have a new bracket up today, so I should probably follow that. last four in order: New Mexico, Providence, Virginia, Gonzaga. Mm. Providence, Virginia, both playing tonight on the road. And then first four out: Villanova, Colorado, Texas A&M, and Utah. Colorado and A&M both playing tonight, both at home.
Virginia is an interesting case.
Yeah.
You know, they've been going along, you know, and they can't score.
Boy, when they're good, they're really good. But if they make it in, I'm certainly not going to circle them many times on my bracket.
No.
For the very reason that you're pointing out. And, you know, that game last, I guess, was it Saturday or Sunday? You know, they're in. I was reminded, wasn't it a Virginia North Carolina game back in the 80s in the ACC final? Dean Smith scored a score against Ralph Sampson that led to the shot clock directly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Went
four
corners.
I was a child, but. I seem to remember that.
And I was not. Oh, I mean, yeah, it did. He went four corners. Everybody's like, well, we can't watch this.
That was like, you know, 33-32 or something.
Well, that's okay. With a shot clock at a three-point line, Penn State in the Big Ten quarterfinals in 2011, I think this is the game that got him in eventually, beat Wisconsin 36-33. And Dick Girardi had the great line in the postgame. Hey, Steve, when does the second half start?
That sounds just like him. Well, you know, we've all covered teams like, you know, we'd take a team three halves to get to 80.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, you know, one of these years we're going to get Virginia, Wisconsin in a tournament game.
Oh.
And,
football on wood.
You know, CBS might decide they want to have bowling on.
That just screams true TV. All right. So.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Or false TV.
Oh, yeah. So how many could the Big Ten get when it's all said and done, in your opinion?
I think the six that are in are varying degrees of solid. The second trio of the six, Nebraska, Michigan State, Northwestern, are all kind of in that 8, 9, maybe 10 range.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying that 8s and 9s don't fall out of the field at this point. They do. But you got to try.
Yeah.
And, so, you know, that then leaves the discussion and turns it to Iowa, which you know, had a nice win last night.
I noticed.
and I have them next four out at 75th overall.
Gotcha.
I don't think
they'll
ultimately make it because I don't think they're good enough.
Right.
And on paper, 2-8 in quad one isn't going to get it done. But there's certainly opportunity for them to get a winning streak here and play their way up and in. But there has never been, there's a significant gap between the last four in and the first four out.
Yep.
And then another significant gap before the next four out. The gaps the size of which, A, I've not remember seeing, and B, that they fall exactly on the foursomes. It's almost like, you know, they're getting paired up for a shotgun starting golf.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we're going to put these four on the 12th hole and these four on the 10th hole, and these other four are so different, you're going to play the short course.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. You're going to be over at the par three course, have a good time.
That's where I'll be.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's like, see, that's the Girardi game. He loves wedge putting. Doesn't bring a driver.
He should stick to that. And should I too? But I'm just, you know, I'm still delusional enough to think I might get better.
Well, and here is, aren't we all? We always get that par in 18. Go, hey, I think I'll come back tomorrow.
Yeah.
But here is the part, for example, for you talk about Iowa. If it continues on the path they're on, there'd be an 8 seed. Well, that means they get Purdue if they win. And I think that stalls what you're talking about. That's the problem they're going to have moving forward. It would be an opportunity, but an opportunity would be a long shot.
Also an opportunity, right?
Yeah, right.
You know, it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly wouldn't bet a mortgage payment on Iowa in that game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless it was your mortgage payment.
Well, of course you would. That's one thing I've always admired about you. When it came to anything I had, you were always willing to bet it. I always felt that was a solid strategy.
Well, I just, you know, we all have our fathers to a degree on our shoulders here.
Yeah.
And mine always said, you know, Joseph, that's why they call it gambling.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I'd be like, okay, Dad.
Yeah.
He also told me I had a face for radio, so,
That's a meme. That was a given in my house. And somehow I've made a living out of it. Who knows?
He was gone long before all this TV stuff. God only knows what he would say.
I know.
Actually, I do know. He'd say, his mother and I can't believe they're paying him to talk.
Well, you do it well. The ACC thing obviously came up. It's like I had a...
Yep.
With all due respect, I had a laugh out of it. Okay. Part of it is knowing you and knowing what you put into it. And it's like, okay. But how many...
What did I say exactly? Like, I'm still trying to figure that out.
You didn't say anything, okay? You literally just gave an analysis that at this hour what you thought. It didn't mean it didn't change. Right?
And now apparently, like, I've spoken ill of their recruiting and I should stay in my lane and blah, blah, blah. I think I was simply asked, you know, having pointed out the pretty significant drop-off in seeding for ACC teams in recent years, I was asked what I thought caused that. And I think I said, they probably don't have the same number of really good players.
Yeah.
Like,
okay. But all
they can
you
recruit
do...
whoever they want, but like... Look, whenever these things happen, I generally, like, I should just be quiet, keep my powder dry, and wait for Selection Sunday, because it all kind of comes out in the wash. But the reality is, the number of people non-publicly coming after me with ACC affiliations, and again, not naming names, makes me want to go on the air and say, stop whining. And I do have a breaking point, and it might be soon.
Right, and I understand.
Because they are whining.
Right, but people don't
They're
understand.
They're not as good at basketball.
Right.
Like, it's not a perception problem. It's a basketball problem. When you average more than one number one seed for two decades and then go 5 years without one, when your best seed in the tournament in two of the last 3 years is only a four, that's not perception. That's not gaming the net. This is not like the single bullet theory in the grassy knoll.
Right.
That's performance at basketball, period.
But you're not sitting there and putting a conference against a conference. You're comparing you're comparing Virginia and what they've done to this hour versus Utah and what they've done to this hour. It has nothing to do with what conference they're in. It depends it's about the opponents that they play along the way, and of course the vast majority are conference opponents in the Pac-12 and the vast majority are ACC opponents. I got that part. But that's what it comes down to. What's the overall body of work? And it just turns out that there aren't as many ACC teams' body of work that's good enough to get home.
Yeah, and I mean, look, sometimes expansion's a good thing. The Big 12 has added the number one team in the country.
Yeah.
Okay? The ACC has too many non-factors now, and it's not about to get better.
No.
With SMU, Stanford, and Cal, I don't know who thought that was a good idea, but I guarantee it wasn't a basketball person.
No, exactly right. Now, the Big 12.
And, you know, for those who can't, it is not a conference debate in the committee room, but, you know, because we live in the real world of fans who like to put their chest out about their teams and their leagues. I get it. But, like, the last team in the field right now from the Big 12, they're ninth.
Yep.
Is Texas, which was winning by like 30 at a 7 seed last night.
Yep.
The last team in the field from the ACC, their fifth, is Virginia, who we talked about. Now, if Virginia and Texas played today on a neutral court, what do you think the boys in Vegas would say?
Right. Exactly.
Like, I'm just the messenger.
Right.
And I know this sounds incredibly arrogant, and I don't mean to be. I'm also not wrong.
Right. You have a track record.
Well, I mean, there is that.
Yeah. You have a track record, but there's another element to it as well. Everyone has to understand, like, you put out the new bracket today. These are your snapshots at the hour. They are not the final product. Everything is a work in progress, right, which you understand. But there's a lot of people that don't understand that.
And, I mean, look, I think it's cyclical, but if I were, you know, a data scientist for the ACC, and I'm neither, I know it seems, you know, kind of counterintuitive, not a data expert, and I'm definitely not a scientist, but, like, the ACC's numbers over a multi-year period are good.
Right.
They just aren't.
Right.
And yeah, I think what set some people off was, you know, like 5 or 6 years ago, whenever it was, their player of the year was Zion Williamson, the number one pick in the draft.
Yep.
Last year, it was Isaiah Wong, who's a nice player.
Yep.
I saw him play in high school at Monsignor Bonner, like 3 miles from my house.
So I'm playing the Jordan Center against Penn State.
Right. But, like, no, he's not the number one pick in the draft.
No.
He's not even close. So, like, you know, if we're going from a, you know, a Michael Jordan, Zion Williamson continuum to Isaiah Wong, Armando Bacot, it's not as good. It just isn't.
Well, let me give you, we'll close this out here. I mean, I agree with you. But I'll close out with this analogy. I think there are fans of the ACC and even coaches of the ACC that think it's 2005, 95, 85.
Yeah.
That's the same attitude that I see from Indiana basketball fans in the Big Ten, that they can't accept it's 2024. And it's not 1987 any longer. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, I never realized, you know, that there was so much of a sense of entitlement, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm from, you know, little old St. Joe's, and we don't think that way.
Mm-hmm.
But just, we don't think that way. And, you know, I'm studying this year, the here and now, right at this moment, and applying how the committee has acted in the past.
Exactly.
Nothing more, nothing less. Or as I often used to say, I put my own mother in the NIT if she played a crappy sketch.
And with that line, it's the mic drop.
I got nothing better. I
will let you fade for the moment into the sunset, my friend.
Please do, because I'm sure this is going to go viral.
Oh.
And, you know, I'm going to be selling apples on the art museum steps by April 1st.
My friend, always, as you know, a pleasure, whether we're doing, talking this or just talking in person. Thanks so much. I appreciate you,
Joe. Right.
See you,
have
man.
Have a good run.
Thanks.
See ya.
Joe Lunardi, the best. That was a fun conversation across the board. I hope you learned a lot.